Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or whatever time you're listening to this in your ears. My name is Lucy Vine, and this is the Hot Mess Clubhouse, where we celebrate funny women. This series is all about funny writers, and this is a particularly special episode of the Clubhouse this week, because I speak to not one, but three funny authors. Firstly, we have Daisy Buchanan, author of a few books, the latest of which is The Sisterhood, a gorgeous, hilarious memoir about growing up as the eldest of six girls. She's one of my favourite writers in the world, as is number two in the lineup, Ayesha Malik. She's a hilarious and uplifting writer, and her recent novel, This Green and Pleasant Land, is just so moving and beautiful. Thirdly, we have the genuinely brilliant Rosie Walsh, international best-selling badass author of astonishing and clever novel, The Man Who Didn't Call. We talk about their books, as well as subjects such as being a dick, crying over reviews, and laughing at yourself. Oh, and be warned, there is a really intense anus joke in there, courtesy of Daisy. So, yeah. These are three extraordinary women, so I hope you enjoy this. We recorded it as a live event at Waterstones Gower Street in the summer, so do forgive the audiencey noises. Thanks! Thank you so much for being here. You all look wonderful.
Thank you.
I also look wonderful. So I'm wearing ASOS maternity. I feel really good. I would love it if you guys would just tell everybody here a little bit about your books. Daisy, do you want to start?
Hello. My book that is behind me is called The Sisterhood, a love letter to the women who shaped me. It is a memoir, but it's also a book about the relationships that women have with each other. I'm the eldest of six girls. I've got five little sisters, and they are the only women I would kill for, and the only women I have ever wanted to kill. So I've written as widely as I could about how I think it's interesting the way that women are compared, the way we, you know, love each other and hate each other, but also the conversations that we're having around feminism, where it's like, you just must love each other and be nice, and if you hate each other, you're a bad feminist. And like, you can love women without liking every single one of them. And it's described as if Phoebe Waller-Bridge of Fleabag wrote a Nancy Mitford book.
Amazing.
And it's all true.
Amazing. Ayesha?
So my book, The Green and Pleasant Land, it's about a Muslim family living in a very English village, think West Dorset. The main character, Bilal, or Bill, as he's known, obviously, he's kind of removed from his culture and his faith. He sees himself as very English. And then his mum is dying, and she fears for his soul. She wants him to reclaim his identity as a Pakistani, as a Muslim. And on her deathbed, she asks him to build a mosque in this village. And he, foolishly, out of guilt, decides to try and give it a go with somewhat disastrous consequences.
Amazing. Hi. It's a story of Sarah, divorcing woman of nearly 40, who believes that in Eddie she's met the love of her life, only for him to completely disappear. And while all of her friends convince that, you know, she's to use the youth speak, being ghosted. She's convinced that there is a more sinister reason for his disappearance, and so she goes off in search of him. And of course there is a more sinister reason for his disappearance, because this is a book. Obviously, 99%. If your phone's not ringing, it's because he isn't interested. However, in my book, there is a reason.
No, there is a reason. He's always dead when he doesn't stop.
Yeah.
They're all absolutely wonderful, wonderful, complicated, clever, triggering books. Yeah. And they're also very different, but I do think the thing that links them all is how warm and funny they all are. So I wanted to ask you guys about funniness. Do you consider yourself funny women?
I think I'm funny because it's very easy to make me laugh. I'm very, very easily entertained. I spend quite a lot of time laughing. And I do sometimes make myself laugh, but the bar is so low.
A few days after we met, my now life partner told me, "You're different from all of the other women because you're a dick."
Does that mean you're funny?
I think so, because I said, obviously, please expand, I think. And he said, my sister could never really cope with his ex, because she just wasn't silly enough. And he said, "But you're really silly, you're a dick." And so from that, I extrapolated, "You're hilarious." that's what I fall back on when I think I'm really... You know, obviously, when you're at a party and you're like, "Wow, God, everyone was so funny," and I'm so not. I remember my boyfriend saying, "Oh, you're a dick." And it being a really good positive.
That is definitely a compliment. But do you think friends of family? Do you think growing up, they would have described you as funny?
I don't think so. I was a really morbid child.
Were you?
Yeah, really morbid child.
E.g.
Just used to write really kind of morbid stories and poems and depressing shit.
I bet they were funny though.
Yeah. And I think comedy kind of brought me out of my morbidity, just laughing at things.
What about you, Daisy?
I think when you've got a big family and a load of sisters, humour is a survival tool and a weapon. But something that I always really loved and appreciated was, because we were all girls together, we never sort of had to be girly. So we could all just be so relaxed, you know, anything could be said. Anything was fair game if it made someone laugh. And quite often it was just like falling down the stairs and farting. But like I said, the bar was low. I think just realising as well that you can't be funny, I don't think, if you sort of are very earnest and take yourself very seriously, and if you really want to be perceived in a certain way.
Yeah.
And because my sisters all, can I say, chip the piss? Took the piss out of me all the time, and I did then. I was really desperate to be sort of perceived as being quite serious and adult, and being different and special. And then it was when I got over myself and realised that when you have a sense of humour about yourself, the world is much easier. And I think that there's a way of finding out having a sense of humour about yourself can really, in a good way, toughen you up and give you a bit of resilience. You know, life is long and hard and tough, but it is also hilarious. And if you're always looking for the funny moments, it's just a joy.
And Daisy's going to be answering all the questions from now on.
Well, Daisy, yours is a memoir, obviously. Do you think that's harder or maybe easier to be funny when you're writing about your own life?
It's the Nora Ephron, you know, you slip on the banana skin, you make it your story, you author it. Having dabbled a bit in stand-up, I've learned that, because when I did it, I was like, you have to be telling a true story here, right? You can't make it up. But then learning you can, there are ways of making things funnier, and the truth of the feeling and the truth of the moment is still there. But you do want to structure a story in a way that it has a better punchline. I did give my sisters full copy approval.
I was going to ask
anything. And there's a bit where we're all telling each other the rudest jokes that we could think of. Are you ready for a rude joke, boys and girls? It's quite rude. What's the difference between oral and anal sex? Oral sex makes your day. Anal sex makes your whole week.
Anal sex?
Yeah, there's loads of that. No, there is. Because I wanted to ask as well, you obviously have several protagonists, and you mentioned Bill.
Yeah.
Was it easy to write from the male perspective as well. Is that an interesting thing?
Yeah, I didn't think too much about it, to be honest.
No.
I just went with the character, where the character took me. I didn't worry too much. I mean, I've written in the perspective of a white priest.
Sure.
a white woman in her 60s,
yeah.
As well as an Asian man. I think of the characters and who they are, and then I get some people to do some sensitivity reading as well, because that can always be helpful, because you don't want to, you know, muck it up.
Yeah. But basically, you're just super talented, is what you're saying.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all a fluke.
No, it's not.
It's all a fluke.
She's so talented, don't listen to her. Because really, you also had a male voice in Eddie. How was he to write? Was that fun?
Well, the ending just wouldn't work and wouldn't work and wouldn't work and wouldn't work, and then I tried killing Sarah off.
Oh God!
I know. And then killing everyone. and then eventually, after some serious crisis meetings, it was a joy to write him. And you know, like you, Aisha, I never thought about his maleness.
But did you have any clue this was going to be such an overwhelming, amazing, massive success?
Oh God, no.
No,
I don't think you can write expecting anything, really, because you're just set up for an entire career of disappointment. No, I had no idea. The day it happened, I was waddling heavily pregnant to pregnancy Pilates, and I knew that my American agent had sent it off, but I just, every year, every time I wrote a book, she'd send me the edited highlights of my rejections. And I came out of Pilates and just checked my email, and there was one from her, there were about 10 from her, but the most recent one in capitals in the subject line was, "You have to call me straight away, it's gone mad."
Oh, that's amazing.
Obviously my phone died at that point. And I'd come out without my wallet, I don't know what I was thinking. So I couldn't even get a taxi or a bus, I just had to waddle very slowly home across Bristol. And then followed the craziest 48 hours of my life, where I spoke to 11 different editors in New York. And then the deal was set, and then my translation agent called me and said, "Oh my God, there's scouts across the world who've heard about your book and they want to read it."
Right, so this is the point. If anybody's ever heard the podcast, I love to do a Clubhouse initiation, which is actually just some quickfire questions that actually then also aren't quickfire, they're just really slow fire. So Daisy, where do you stand at a party when you don't know anyone?
I will, because I feel like moving into my discomfort zone. I'm a good Catholic girl. Pain is good, guilt is good, shame is good. I will sidle up to someone and say, "I like your bag or your shoes," and hope that sparks a conversation. And then if that doesn't work, I will leave.
Amazing. How vivid are your dreams?
Like, whenever I've done a job, and if I'm new at the job and I'm nervous about it, the dream becomes that job. And when I was a checkout supervisor at Summerfields back in 2003, whatever I was doing in the dream, I'd be like scanning things, and there'd be other dream stuff going on, and I was like, "What's the barcode for broccoli?"
How many marks out of 10 would you give your first kiss?
It was a year 6 disco, and it was an assault, Lucy, let's be frank. Simon Neil was showing off in front of bigger boys, so I'd give it a 3, because, you know, I didn't get a cult or anything.
That's awkward, because he's new tonight.
I imagine! Shit, this is your life.
Over all of your mistakes!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Aisha, are you ready?
I don't know.
This is really penetrating questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you use vouchers?
I don't.
No, not a voucher person. Got it. No. Too rich. No. Too rich. Yeah. What do you think is your biggest weakness?
Nutella.
Oh, good choice. What is your favourite conspiracy theory?
Oh, I love that question.
Oh, I don't really believe in conspiracy theories. No.
Do you believe in aliens or anything?
No, I'm too literal. Says the woman who believes in the afterlife.
Yeah, ghosts.
Can you play any musical instruments?
No, I can. I used to take piano lessons when I was a kid, but we could only afford a keyboard.
And now, Rosie, are you ready?
I'm really jealous of her questions.
Tough luck.
Sure.
Do you have any nervous habits?
Yeah, pull my eyelashes. Oh, I don't pull them, I sort of roll them and then bend them, but then they fall out.
Yeah, they would.
Yes.
What is your favourite supermarket?
Well, I'm going to say Waitrose, and don't hate me, because that doesn't mean I'm necessarily shocked there.
List on my book sold in 35 territories.
Oh. I'm sorry, there's nothing not to love about those ultra-wide aisles and air of calmness and lush food. I don't actually shop there, because it's quite a long drive from my house.
So, congratulations, guys. You have officially passed the clubhouse initiation.
Oh! Yeah.
So anyway, you are all established authors now. Do you feel like that yet? Is that real to you?
No. You invited me to come, and I was like, oh god, but there's proper writers on the panel with me.
I've got an idea of what it will feel like when I get there, and I imagine their lives, and they're really like, in my head, they get up, they do yoga, where the sun comes up every morning in a proper studio, and like in, you know, nice clothes, not the skanky, sweaty things that I do my exercise in. And they sit down, they're having like a really good write, they're feeling really calm when they do their writing, really relaxed. They don't spend any time like crying and swearing and
or on the internet.
Ventilating or on the internet. Yeah. Then, you know, in the afternoon they take calls from their agent, talk about film deals. And, in the evening they go and they have cocktails with Elizabeth Gilbert.
This is quite specific and detailed in this life that you're planning.
When it happens to me, I can't wait.
Sounds like it's really lovely.
One day.
I was saying this last night to somebody, I feel less secure about the whole writing thing, writing book four, than I did book one.
So yeah, I think it's the weight of expectation. Which book will it be that really kind of makes you a household name?
Do you want to be a household name?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Why wouldn't you want to be a household name? Like,
As a writer.
As a writer.
You could just go, like, sleep with some footballer and you could...
I suppose I could do that.
That would do the job.
Let's call that plan B.
Crazy, though. Household name is like, you'll be, you know, having a scone with Alan Titchmarsh talking about your latest book, which is what I think we should all be doing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you read reviews, you three?
Can't.
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, a lot.
Wow, does it affect you?
But do you know, they used to. So the first review I got for my first book was a 2-star.
First one?
Yeah, the very first review on Goodreads.
I will hunt them down and kill them.
I cried for about 2 days.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And she was really patronising because she said, usually I adore books by South Asian women. Fuck you, bitch. That's what I thought. But this one just really... Anyway, and I cried. Yeah, but then after that, then these amazing reviews started coming through, like, in the press and everything, so it kind of... it leveled, it leveled everything. And now I just I read the one star reviews and kind of chuckle at myself.
Gee, and it doesn't bother you, it doesn't stay with you for days and
sometimes if I think they've said something that's true, like criticism, that I think actually, yeah, you know what, you're right, then that will stay with me, but hopefully I'll, you know, use that for the next book. But otherwise, yeah, I got, like, I get some great one star reviews. I haven't got a one star review for my third book yet.
Yay!
Which is on for sale, by the way.
One star review.
If you like Lee Townsend and Jonathan Coe.
But yeah, no, some of the one star reviews for Sophia Khan were kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, oh, one of my favourite ones was when a man, a Muslim man, said, "This woman doesn't know about Muslim women."
Oh.
She has not painted a correct reflection of Muslim women.
Oh, wow.
What I love is when you look at what the one stars have also reviewed, and they have given five stars to, like, a pack of dishcloths.
Deservedly so.
I didn't look for the sisterhood, and actually I've even got my husband and willing friends. Like, if I get tagged, because that's the thing on the internet, is people will write a horrible review and they'll be like, "Hey, at you, whatever."
Thank you.
So I get other people to read them for me, and I'm like, "Is it okay? Is it safe to say thanks for the nice review?" But I still remember vividly with the book before, How to Be a Grown Up, being on holiday in France with my parents, and this is gross, horrible, horrible habit. I was on the toilet, and I just found myself on Twitter. And
number
I clicked,
one or number two?
What? Yeah.
Okay, number two.
Sorry. But seeing I had a new review, and it was a one star, and I can't manage to forget what it said, but, and I think it was probably sort of like, not as bad as expected, one star or something like
not
that.
Not as bad as expected.
But also thinking, I am on holiday.
On the toilet.
On the toilet. Relaxed. My best place
ever. My favourite place.
It's shriveled up my bowel movements.
Why would I do that to myself on holiday? It's madness.
Or last thing before going to bed.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to cheer us up by... we're now going to play a game, and I want some audience participation, guys. Whoa. I want drunken shouting, if possible. I don't know if anybody's got there yet. I'm calling it... Whose Tweet Is It Anyway? That's terrible, don't laugh. I'm going to get you guys to read out a tweet, and you lot have to guess which of these three said it.
Oh, God. Oh,
whoa.
And you two can't give anything away.
I didn't know this about this.
No, I didn't.
She didn't.
This is about your poker face as much as anything else, guys.
Ooh.
Okay, so they're going to read, and they might be reading their own, they might be reading somebody else's, and you guys have to try and guess who tweeted this. So we'll start with Daisy.
So I'm reading this out.
Yeah.
Enjoying myself.
Was gonna post another smug food pic on IG and then decided to stop being a dick.
Who here is not a dick? Okay.
Aisha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Poker face is very good, isn't it?
Let's read the next one.
Thank you. Everyone in Buenos Aires greets each other with a kiss on the cheek, even if it's the first time they've met. I lived there for a year and I liked it. But it still blows my mind that even the male gynecologist I once had to see greeted me in that way.
Daisy.
Daisy.
Yeah. Oh, you look like a male gynecologist person.
Oh, dear. Was it Daisy?
It was me!
Hey.
One of those writing days where you're basically waiting for the police to turn up and question you about your search history. I'm googling for my character, not me.
Any guesses?
Who was it? I think that was Aisha.
You're not allowed to guess.
Oh, shit, sorry.
A bit of an identity crisis there.
I won't go to the little Tesco because their milk selection is rubbish. They only have almond. Tell me the sentence your brain was thinking when you realised you had become a twat.
Okay. Oh, that does sound like you've been busted. Rosie, yeah,
I remember that tweet. Fuck you, Northern Line.
So predictable. I always watch Countryfile thinking it's going to be lovely, soothing Sunday night viewing, and then there is always a man going fully screaming Paxman about way tax and rights for otters.
Daisy.
The clever tweets are Daisy.
Yeah.
The fairy ones are me.
The ones that, you know, figure out.
I mean, that's it, like, way is an intellectual red flag.
Hi from St Ives, where I just found my 2-year-old trying to take a crap in a dog bowl. While I dealt with the dog bowl, he stole an entire block of cheese from the fridge. He took a few bites and then hid it somewhere and nobody knows where.
Any guesses? There was some clues. There was some clues in there, yeah.
Did you ever find it?
On the day we left.
Also,
it was in the other dog bowl. Which was overturned and under the dog bed. I mean, we didn't even have a dog with us. I just texted my husband to tell him I was having an impulsive massage. I now realise that sounds as though I'm about to start fondling myself in the street.
She loves a massage.
And who's this for? Is it for me?
Yeah, you've got to read that.
We are quite funny, actually.
In a cafe in Tooting, which is playing very sexually explicit sweary music, so perfect soundtrack when editing a children's book.
I think that's... Oh, no, I'm not allowed to.
Daisy doesn't understand the scale. She understands way, but she doesn't understand the scale.
I've heard
some
Asia. Yes, that was Asia.
Yes,
it was. Well, yeah, last one. There you go, dude.
You've worked so hard on the kidney. Very special. The kidney has a very special place in the heart.
I'm kidding, that was Donald Trump, guys.
I can't believe you made me say that man's word.
Let's face it, no winners in that game. And on that note, that's that. Thank you so much, guys. You are all brilliant. We'll be signing books here, there, wherever you wanted to, if you would like to buy any. I'm slightly jumping on the bandwagon.
I'm going to buy Rosie's books. I've not read it. I'm so excited about
it. You should buy them all. They're just really, truly brilliant. My book is also around.
Yes.
Are We Nearly There Yet? Which came out a couple of weeks ago.
Funny.
And
I've read Rosie's book. It's probably hysterically.
You'll be snorting
on the
tooth. Thank you all for joining us this evening, and to Waterstones for hosting. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.